Hello, how are you? Gabby with you. Welcome to another episode of the Happier Life Project, brought to you by the free award-winning mental health and wellness app, My Possible Self. Today, we're going to talk about hormones and how they are essential for life and your health. Hormones affect everything from blood sugar to blood pressure, growth, fertility, your sex drive, metabolism, and even sleep. Hormones' influence go as far as changing the way we think and act day to day. The menstrual cycle is regulated by hormones. So if we are having irregular periods, bleed between periods, bleed more heavily than usual, or develop severe pain during our period, this could be an indicator that our hormones are out of whack. And it should not be ignored. Today's guest, Chloe Hodgkinson, is a personal trainer and coach with previous experience with disordered eating and relative energy deficiency. Relative energy deficiency in sport describes a syndrome of poor health and declining athletic performance that happens when athletes do not get enough fuel through food to support the energy demands of their daily lives and training. After fully recovering and healing her relationship with food and exercise, Chloe turned to social media to raise awareness on amenorrhea, the absence of getting your period, going on to train to become a coach to help girls recover from disordered eating, amenorrhea, diet culture, and learning to work out with the menstrual cycle. Chloe also creates content for My Possible Self's social channels and has a keen interest in self-development and holistic practices. Chloe loves nothing more than seeing somebody go from calorie-obsessed to fueled and performing in their sport. In today's conversation, you're going to hear Chloe's frank and honest story, which began in her teens thanks to a stupid and ignorant comment made by a boy she was dating. You're going to hear how overtraining and underfueling wreaked havoc on Chloe's hormones, resulting in her completely losing her period. And Chloe speaks about the determination it took to completely heal and educate herself to become the happy, healthy, lovely person you're about to meet today. So, ready to find a healthier, happier you? Let's get started. Well, it's finally happening, Chloe Hodgkinson. Welcome to the Happier Life Project.
Thanks. Yeah, it's been a long time coming.
It really actually has. Your mental health and fitness content creator, PT, and support coach to help girls recover from disordered eating. Amenorrhea, am I pronouncing that right?
Amenorrhea, yeah.
Amenorrhea, which is the absence of menstrual.
Go on. Absence of menstrual, yeah, of menstruation, basically.
Yes.
So you're really missing ovulation.
Right.
Which then leads to not having a bleed.
Mm. So you coach on also like the diet culture and learning to work out with the menstrual cycle, which is going to be really interesting to learn about too. And of course, you're part of the My Possible Self team, and we work very closely together. And I'm sure many people listening to this will have seen your pretty face on our socials doing all the content. So I'm jazzed that we've finally gotten around to recording this episode together. So I think we should kick it off with the kind of origins of your story in terms of your entry into the fitness world. Did you always enjoy exercise and fitness? Was this always a goal of yours then to like encourage other people to get fit and healthy?
I wish I could say that I went into it to be fit and healthy. I really didn't. I was with a guy at the time that had started going to the gym, and he cheated on me and basically said he didn't want to be with a slob. So I should probably get to the gym. And that's exactly what I did. And I chased skinny and I dived headfirst into the fitness industry. And then just so turns out that exercise actually makes you feel quite good. And compliments feel good too. I also feel like I was probably at a time, I was like 14, 15 at the time when I first got into the gym. So I think like it felt, I think I spent a lot of my childhood not having a label. So I wasn't like really sporty and I wasn't really intelligent. And I remember thinking to myself, I want to be known for something, as in like a hobby. Like there was always like the horse rider, then there's like the footballer, or like my friend was really into, I don't know, playing the violin. And I just felt like I didn't have anything. So then when I saw that like fitness could be my thing,
Yeah.
that felt really good. So I didn't just dive straight head first. I literally like bombed into it.
Okay, well, I'm gonna sort of go back to the whole the guide thing, and that's awful. Yeah, I've got some points on that. So you starting to work out and feel good, you know, we know it's all about the endorphins, right? So then how did you then transfer that into wanting to become a PT?
Yeah, so God, I think I just got so consumed by everything that I then was studying fashion media and marketing at uni, quickly realized that actually everyone was really into Topshop, back when Topshop was its own store, and or they were into like Gucci, and they were into, and I was just obsessed with trainers. And I was like, I don't really fit in here. So I spoke to my lecturers, and what I worked out is actually I could do all of my projects based around activewear.
Ah.
Activewear, when I was like 15, was having its like just started to have its moment. So there was loads of research that I could do around it. And then for my final major project in uni, I wanted to do a campaign that inspired young girls to actually be fit and healthy. And as part of that, I thought, who am I to say that? Let's go get a PT qualification so I could say that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
A bit of a
So it
different
was all
entry
like,
point then.
yeah, it was all very accidental. And then from that, realized actually I loved it. And actually, this label of fitness that I've given myself, I can live and breathe it constantly. And
Wow.
I can earn money from it. That's great.
Absolutely. We all know as well with the, because more and more people are talking about it, that like the health and fitness industry, it's not always so healthy as we're led to believe it is. And particularly PTs can struggle with body image and comparison. And when did things start to sort of shift in that direction for you?
So I didn't know they were disordered at the time, but now looking back, I'm very aware that my disordered habits around fitness and food started way before I was even a PT. So I was really into like 6 week programs, 12 week programs, chicken all the time,
Yeah.
protein shakes all the time. And actually what I think is actually really important is we hold personal trainers as really like as such high regards. Like they're gonna be our lifesavers when it comes to getting fit and healthy. Honestly, what you learn on a personal training course, you really don't learn anything in terms of what it takes to be a personal trainer. And I think that's why when you find a good coach or you find a good personal trainer, they haven't just done that qualification. They've probably been through a bit of a journey themselves. They've probably researched into a lot. They maybe have done extra courses and things like that, because the qualification you get as a personal trainer is nothing. So I was, and I'll put my hands up, one of those personal trainers that I then went and did like a nutrition course, which just taught me how to teach people how to track calories. So then that was like a whole new area for me. Yet people were still coming to me and expecting me to change their life while I was still in a process of like understanding my life. And you think, as a personal trainer, you can qualify at 16. You don't know who you are or how to help people at 16.
Yeah, this echoes when we had the mental health PT on at the start of the year. What he was basically saying is that, you know, you can get a certificate quite easily, I suppose, but then like, somebody coming to you, like you said, with that expectation of maybe being not just like to help people get fit physically, but also it's so intrinsically linked to our mental health too, right? And then, yeah, I can see why you'd be like, whoa, this feels like a little bit out of my depth kind of
Yeah,
thing.
this was at the time as well where Instagram was really taken off. So like fitness influencers became such a huge thing. So I naturally, that's where I got my information from, not only for myself, but for clients. And I would share things with clients and stuff like that. So it was at a time where like the fitness industry was just becoming really fashionable.
It's interesting what you said as well about the nutrition course. You learn how to track calories because I wouldn't necessarily agree that tracking calories is a nutritious way of living.
No, exactly. And that's also what you have to be careful of in terms of there's so many courses out there that you can do. I'm technically a qualified nutrition coach because the name nutrition isn't protected like it is a dietitian. But on that course, all it was a bunch of PTs teaching me how to teach others to track calories.
Wow.
Yeah.
Gosh. Well, then just going back to the catalyst for you sort of struggling with body image and disordered eating, and you said it wasn't from becoming a PT, it came before then. I want to go back to that douche that you were going out with that said you were a slob and whatever, whatever. I mean, it also sounds like you were very young as well. And, guys can
Yeah.
say stupid things at any age, can't they? But of course, you're really impressionable then, aren't you? And I think many people, and when I read that part of your story, I could relate where you think, even if the guy hasn't been that frank, where if things aren't going well, you think it's you and you think it's your physical appearance. So you think, I'm not pretty enough, I'm too fat. Do you think that was sort of what happened with you?
Absolutely. And I think, like within society, as much as there's a big group of us, and marketing is trying to pretend they're staying away from those ideals, we are so consumed by everything is visual. Do you know what I mean? Like, we're so consumed by, even when it comes to like product packaging, it has to be the most beautiful, sleek packaging or whatever's on trend at that time. Like, at the moment, we're seeing like really natural and neutral packaging. Well, that's just a current trend. You think like trends are constantly evolving, and that's exactly the same with how we look and our bodies. So last week our body was on trend, but actually even with our menstrual cycle our bodies changed. This week we're not. And it's just, I think it's so difficult, especially when you're younger, to understand that like it's not about you. And also what other people say, or even the stories you tell yourself, really, the deep core is never truly about you. So, if the story you're telling yourself is X, Y, and Z, now as I'm older and I've gone through this journey, I've been able to like sit and be like, actually, where is this story come from? Because it's not mine. And the same with like when he mentioned that comment to me, naturally, I perceive me as a problem when I'm like 15, 16 years old. But actually, that's more a representation of them. Like, that's their insecurity when it came to the gym. They went to the gym to feel better about themselves and they projected that on me. Obviously, hindsight is a wonderful thing. But I think that is one of the things that I've really carried through with me with my journey is like, now I know that when someone makes a comment to me or a story I'm telling myself and I feel about myself a certain way, is to stop and check and be like, is that my story to tell or is that someone else's?
Such a good point. I think about what was coined, I think, in 1975, but don't quote me on that, the male gaze. And I still think that deep conditioning, even though things are slowly, slowly starting to change, and this is particularly applicable to straight females, that we've kind of grown up thinking that, like, and again, it's like you said about society and the media, these pictures that we see, it's always the thin, pretty girl that gets the gorgeous guy. And, we need to dress up for a man, and we're not beautiful unless we look like these Chanel adverts or Kardashians on Instagram. And that pressure is still there. Like, I certainly feel it.
Yeah, 100%. Like I say, it's everywhere. So it's natural to feel those pressures. And I think it's only since I've got older that I've realized that actually it's not really about how you look. It's actually about how authentic you are because people can see right through it. I totally wasn't authentic. I was running on no energy and I was filling my days up with just exercise and movement to maintain this label that I thought people looked at me and thought, look at her, driven, successful, motivated, got the body that she wants. When actually inside, I really wasn't. It was only when I recovered and like became, I guess, stepped into like sounds a bit cringe, but like who I really was and became my authentic self, that actually my true friends came out. I met my now fiance, which is weird to say. But you know, when like you can spend so much time trying to be the person you think you're meant to be,
Yeah.
and in that time, you're pushing away all the things and the people that are meant to be in your life because you're not being authentic. It's only when you strip all of that away that actually all of these amazing things can come to you, but you've just got to be you to allow them in.
God, that's so profound. I just want to go back to how you did feel at the time where, when you had, I'm air quoting this, the perfect body. Like, did you ever feel like you had it? Or did you think, oh, I could do with a bit more muscle? Oh, if I could just drop a few more. Because I just wonder when you're in that headspace if actually you ever achieve what you think. Or did you get to that point, but then you were like, right, I have to sustain this?
No, I never, ever got to it. And this goes to show exactly how little I was taught on the courses that I did, was I was so wrapped up in society of eat less, move more, that that's exactly what I was striving for. And I was so scared to lift weights. So this was, again, like 15 years ago. So
Oh yeah,
that was.
because yeah, women were scared they'd bulk up, weren't they? Whereas now strength training is encouraged.
Everything. So I was literally doing like fasted cardio, loads of HIIT and things like that to try to get this sculpted body. But actually, you need muscle to get sculpted body. But there was no way I was gonna eat the carbohydrates and eat enough food to be able to sculpt the muscle. And there was no way I was gonna lift weights. So I was always chasing a goal that was never a goal. I was always chasing a, what am I even chasing at that point? Because completely wrong.
So, what happened to you then physically, and how long did it take to emerge in terms of things like losing your period when you were doing this? And what is overtrain? I mean, I'm sure it's different to each, but like, how often were you training? If you could give us some more kind of insight, just because there might be people, veering on the scale here that they might be teetering.
And I think so. I think for a few years, your body can get away with it. I also turned 18 around that time. So I went out, started drinking and, eating after a night out. So that probably balanced it out. And then I ended up finally splitting up with the guy and I decided to come off the pill. And then my period didn't return. So I split up with him. Then, as I think, as a way of like coping with that and keeping me on track, I dived even more headfirst into my training routine. Again, I don't think I'd ever dealt with the reasons for why I started that fitness journey to keep him happy. Suddenly, I was single. And again, like you say about the male gaze, suddenly it's like, oh my God, well, now I've really got to keep myself in tip-top shape. Otherwise, no one's going to fancy me. Dive straight into my work, dive straight into even more so into the fitness industry, and my period didn't return. And then I just started like looking up, like, why don't I have my period after the pill? And came across Renee McGregor and Natasha Ocean. She's on YouTube. And they had both spoken about losing their period through overtraining or undereating. Now, I wasn't necessarily overtraining. And I think this is really key, is that you can still lose your period and only go to the gym, in quotation marks, say 3 times a week. The problem that you've got is under recovery for the amount that you do. And there are many people out there that overtrain, and there was probably a time that I was overtraining. I was doing sort of morning and evening sessions. So cardio in the morning, HIIT in the evening, which was probably way too much for my body, and loads of steps as well. But really, where it comes down to is low energy availability. And that's from that sort of like under recovery sort of stage. So if you think of a set of scales, and what I'm doing is when every time you move your body, you're expending energy. If you don't then replenish that or spend some time resting of that, that can cause low energy availability. And when you spend a sustained amount of time in low energy availability, your body tries to give you signs. So you'll find that, you're tired a little bit more, mood dips, maybe you can't be bothered to see friends, you start distancing yourself from relationships because it takes energy to maintain
Like
relationships.
brain
Dog,
fog, right?
yeah, brain fog, digestion slows down, so you might find you're bloated, which then can lead you to researching into all of these dietary intolerances, and then suddenly you're cutting out gluten, and then suddenly you're cutting out dairy, so your even your diet gets more restrictive. your sleep, you can find that you're waking up in the night fair few times, waking up in the night and going to the toilet, needing to wee all the time. These are all signs that your body is in low energy availability, and then eventually it will stop your menstrual cycle. That's basically your body saying, hey, we don't have enough energy for you to do the thing that a human body is made to do. So I'm not saying that everyone is meant to have children or anything, but as a human body, yeah, you know, we have a cycle every single month, and that's literally screaming at you saying you don't have enough energy in your system to be able to do the thing we're meant to do. Mm. And that's what happened to me.
Wow. So before you found Rini, I want to sort of go back a little bit, and I actually got this, the next part of your story. It's an excerpt from an interview you did with The Guardian, which I'll just read. I came off the contraceptive pill, which you talked about, and my period stopped. Months passed, and despite the doctor saying it was normal for menstruation not to return immediately, I could not shake the feeling that something more was going on. I told the doctor that I think I undereat and have a weird thought process with food. However, the doctor said that because your body mass index, BMI, was not low, you were not taken seriously. You said, I thought I had a problem, but the whole family thought I was the healthy and fit one. So, I mean, you have to be so intuitive, don't you? You have to really listen to your body and sometimes fight to get the right help, I suppose. And, you know, good for you for recognizing that. But so it sounds like basically the doctor fobbed you off, which I've read countless times, unfortunately, and research has shown with people that suffer from eating disorders, oh, you're not quite underweight enough, therefore we're not going to take this further. And it's almost like challenge accepted. Do you know what I mean? If your mind is going in that direction.
Yeah, I got goosebumps when you read that out, because it like just took me back to that moment that actually I'd forgotten about, really, until you mentioned that. Like, yeah, that was such a whole journey for me where it's really difficult, right? Because I wouldn't say I had an eating disorder, but I was very uneducated, which then led to disordered habits. And you think that is so common. Education in terms of like is such a privilege when it comes to health and fitness, and I didn't have it at the time, which led to disordered habits. So, but I was still aware. I was thinking, oh, like, why can that person eat a croissant with their friends and not gain loads of fat, but I can't bring myself to eat rice with that salad that I'm having? Yeah. And I thought, I remember sitting on the edge of my bed once and thinking, is this my life? Is this what it takes to be this fit and healthy? Because I didn't understand like why I wasn't allowed to eat the chocolate and things like that. And I judged people for eating chocolate, and it was so busy in my brain. And I remember saying to the doctor, yeah, like, you know, I think, I don't really know, but like, I am quite restrictive with my food. Like, is that normal? And they were just like, yeah, that can be normal if you're into the gym. And if you exercise quite a bit, then it's normal to lose your period. And if you're worried about it, maybe just like eat some more. And, you know, but you're exercising really well. So it was basically, if you look at when that whole eat less, move more, I was the perfect person for that. And they were going, yeah, you're doing brilliant, well done. But actually what I'd done is tipped over the other side of the, other side of the scale.
You raise such a valid point as well about disordered eating habits, because I think that so many people just live with that for the rest of their life. I think of so many friends of mine that in order to stay a certain size, to fit a certain dress size or to be a certain shape, then yeah, they're not living their life to the full. We're not talking about like, you know, being healthy, because, you know, we could also talk about the debate thin equals healthy. We're talking about not giving your body what it needs to thrive.
And how do we educate? How do we make sure that is like a fundamental basics of education? I don't even remember. In school, I was taught about the plate thing, you know, like how much food and vegetables. No one ever told me how much I actually needed. Like, we still are seeing 1,400 calories, like diets, 1,600 calorie diets. 1,400 calories isn't even what like a toddler needs. Yet we're not taught any of this. And it's just like, why aren't we taught any of this? Because this is how those traits end up, you follow everything. And Dr. Nikki Cray, an endocrinologist, she did a talk with Rena McGregor, and they both spoke about how the traits of someone with like disordered eating are very similar to those traits of like an athlete. So if you're really driven and you're like a type A personality and you're like, go, 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 if you're sort of not given quite the right tools to be able to use that, you really fall into disordered habits, because those is like the discipline and the motivation and things like that are all that of a high achieving athlete. But the difference is the high achieving athlete has the support and the tools and the education to be able to help themselves and to be able to thrive. Whereas the everyday person hasn't got that education to know what should be in their body. So they're told eat less, move more, and boom, off they go.
Yeah. Yeah. So true. I think as well about like a lot of people listening to this will suffer from anxiety. We know this from doing polls and from, you know, who has downloaded the app, and the majority of people I think that listen to this podcast are listening directly on the app. For me, with my anxiety, and I don't know if it's like a way of trying to regain control, but like, I just feel like I've got to get this out. So I do tend to over-exercise sometimes. And it might just be the fact that I go for a walk, but it's like, I'll walk for 3.5-4 hours. Do you know, my mum used to say it was like me walking off my demons. You know, when I was a bit younger, it was a lot of running, and I still do it now, but I feel like I need to get that kind of anxiety and that nervous energy out of my body. Also affects my eating habits too. Like, some people will reach more for food, whereas I'm the opposite. I like completely lose my appetite. And I'm wondering what your thoughts are on this as well, Chloe.
100%. Yeah. So I think there is, Rini taught me this actually, that when you undereat, your body is naturally heightened to increase anxiety within the body. So you're aware, and then you're looking out for food. So anxiety can be a real huge symptom of underfueling or low energy availability. But also, like you say, for some people, and me included, increase anxiety, feel anxious. What can I control? I can control how my body looks potentially. Yep. Exercising will distract me, and I can control how much food goes into my body. So I'll reduce that. But then for some, it might be, you know, comfort food or binge watching on the TV and not moving their body, even though that might benefit them. And I think it's honestly like the biggest thing that it lives in my head rent free, because I'm still struggling with the answer of like, I would never, ever say to someone, as in like, there's such a fine balance, isn't there, between like, is this person just really dedicated and loves their sport and loves moving their body and loves eating healthy? Or does that person have some disordered thoughts and disordered rules around food? And the answer is, it's so different for everyone. But I think if you can learn about your body and like intuitively, and marry that alongside this educational process of how much the human body needs, how much women need with a menstrual cycle, how much the menstrual cycle needs supporting, that's when we can find the sweet spot. And I guess we're seeing a lot of like personalized nutrition now, aren't we? And I am guessing that we're going to start to see a lot more like personalized wellness and fitness, that, okay, you might need to eat a certain way, personalized nutrition, but actually you should also move in a certain way because your body needs slightly different to the next person. It's so hard. And I think what's caused this big bomb is everyone's just trying to simplify it. And actually the human body is pretty complex.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like, who do you then trust as well to be that person that puts you on that path, which is so imperative to your health and your wellness. You talked about Rini. So she's been on the pod a couple of times, thanks to you. She's a leading sports and eating disorder specialist dietitian, over 20 years experience working in clinical and performance nutrition. So how did she put you, Chloe, on the path to recovery? Because I can imagine that wouldn't have been easy, because that is that inner critic and that control, isn't it? That you like, you have to sort of surrender and be comfortable with the uncomfortable, and it must be so hard.
Yeah, it took me over a year to get in contact with her. So I spent a year trying to consume and trying to find the answer that aligned with my lifestyle that I was living. Oh, no, you're fine. You keep going. Went to the doctors, got diagnosed with PCOS, then undiagnosed with PCOS. I was trying everything to try to not admit that I was, my food and my exercise probably had to change. Then eventually, I didn't have a period for over a year at this point, and I thought, okay, I really need to do something about this. So got in contact with Rini, and it was the initial consultation was we sort of explored why, but I think mentally, because I'd spent a year trying, so I'd read the whole I need to eat a little bit more, do a little bit less, and I'd just like flirted with it, if you like. I'd say like half recovery, that by the time I got to see Rini and again put my hands up, I'm very aware I was in a privileged position to be able to go private. A lot of people can't afford that help. That I was then like, okay, Chloe, you've got to do this. But still, I would say, oh, it was lockdown as well. So I was living on my own in my own flat. And that door shutting and locking was probably the best thing for me, because I was able to work through the whole, what if I'm gaining weight, but people see me in the gym? What are my old clients going to think? What people in the gym think? And what that made me realize is actually a lot of this whole journey was never, the spotlights weren't on me, they were on everyone else. And the lockdown enabled me to turn the lights back round onto me and then really dig deep into recovery. But that was a whole journey of like unlearning everything I'd been taught. Eating more, eating full fat dairy, eating carbohydrates. That was like the biggest thing for me. Doing less, sometimes less is more. And I'm like, my head was just like, how do we do this? But then that, and I say to everyone that I sort of work with, is that you have to go through that about a good few months of this really uncomfortable stage. Your body has been so suppressed, you can't then just switch it back on again. It's going to have to trust you and build up, and all of these things that, like hormones and digestion things that start flowing again, will take a while for your body to get comfortable. But trust me, because if you can get through that really, really hard, I'd say recovery is harder than way before you're, so like when you're having all of these disordered thoughts and you're deep into the fitness industry or deep in your fitness routine, you're convinced that you're feeling good because it's a tick list, because you're doing everything society and the diet culture tells you to do. But going through recovery is you're doing the complete opposite. And if you can stick that bit out, I always say to people, I wish you could just feel how I feel now, because then you'll know why you need to continue.
Can you remember the day that you got your period back?
It literally was. I was bloated quite a bit all that day. And then I remember going to the toilet and wiped, and there was blood, and I just burst into tears. And I honestly don't think I've had a day yet that felt so euphoric. It was like all of that hard work. So from working with Rini to getting my period back, it was about like 3 and a bit months. So, and then
It
obviously,
shows how, when you give your body what it needs as well, how great it can bounce back that quickly as well, because.
I had spent the past year in that half recovery. So like I was sort of, I didn't go straight from like disordered eating 2, 3 months
Got it.
later, if that
Right.
makes sense. Yeah, like I'd tried. But from working with Rini, where I went sort of all in, if you like, that moment was just, it was silly, really. I just burst into tears, phoned everyone I could. Dad, I've come on my period.
Oh, that's amazing. So then, because you clearly are a gal that loves to work out, and you want to keep doing that. I don't know how much you do it in terms of being up, because I know you're busy with other stuff, training with other people, with clients. But in terms of the importance of hormones when it comes to training, and for you to and I guess Rini's really helped with this as well, to keep you on track where you don't again fall into old behaviors and patterns, because that has got to be so easy to do too, right? Especially when the endorphins start going, or you have, like we talked about, like triggers and anxiety. You have a bad day and you feel out of control. And what can you control? Your appearance. So I guess I'm asking you two things here: the importance of hormones and training, and then also keeping yourself on an even keel so that you can do all the sport that you love, but also make sure that your body is getting the nutrients that it needs.
Yeah, I think again, I guess I'd have to bring it back to education, but also self-awareness, and these two have to marry each other. So I never thought I would ever be able to do hardcore training again. And then suddenly I was doing CrossFit 5 times a week and my body was having a
That's
period with it.
hardcore.
Yeah. And, but this is,
What's the answer there? Because if you were training so intensely and still having a period, then that would indicate that you are a healthy girl, you know?
yes, and that is because I'd spent, and this is why I always say to people, if you are going through disordered eating habits, or you're trying to, if you are on really low calories, to slowly like increase those and get your metabolism and get your body functioning first and foremost, and then slowly start adding it in and slowly start increasing it. And now I cannot get over how much my body can do. The amount that I eat and the amount that I can do is crazy. I still find it meant, I'm still waiting to wake up 20 stone because of how much I, not only does my body require to eat, but how much I can sort of like get away with eating. Like, takeaways and things like that doesn't really affect my body anymore. Because I've built the metabolism and I've healed the food thoughts that actually, do you know what? I do eat well and I do fuel my body so much better. That actually, yeah, I will always say yeah to a takeaway if I want one. Whereas that sort of me 15 years ago, that to that girl sat on the bed thinking, is this my life anymore? Like the answer is no, it's not. But you have to go through that stage of unlearning everything, relearning the right stuff, and then also honoring where your body's at. So in terms of hormones, there are times in the month that I know I can really push it. And then there are times in the month that I know I need to dial back. And there's loads coming out at the moment, and people will tell you this is how you harness your cycle with your period. So there's some suggestions that you would, after your period, up until ovulation is a time that you can really go for it. Then you ovulate, and then on the lead up to the period, you would maybe dial back. There's no real science that has come out to suggest that just yet. Hopefully, there is, but I think this is where it goes to show individualized fitness and individualized wellness is so important, because my friend may actually feels horrendous around ovulation. So it's good for her to take a couple more rest days at that point. I am my strongest on day one of my period, but another friend might not feel strong until way after their period. So it's just understanding that as females that menstruate, we will naturally go in this ebb and flow, and to not fight it. I think, like, when I was deep in my fitness and my disordered eating, I was chasing this like constant consistency and constant growth, constant. If I'm not making improvements every single day, I'm a failure. And really, that's all based on men. Like, men have pretty stable hormones. Whereas what's actually amazing about us is that we ebb and flow, which means we can push and then we can get all of these PBs and then we can spend some time recovering from that. And then we get to go again and then we can draw back. And I think that's like one thing I've really had to learn is that, life goes in waves. Even when you look at like the moon cycles, right? It sounds a bit woo-woo, but like everything goes in cycles, the seasons, everything's in cycles, and we're no different. That actually learning that about you, about when you can push forward and when you need to dial back, not only helps your body recover, but also helps your like sport and your training, because you know when you can push. So I always recommend like tracking your cycle for you and individual to you, noting where you feel you're strongest or where you feel you're most fit, and then dialing it back. And that can take a fair few months of practice, because you've got to sort of work out your trends as well. But that is how I ended up being able to train 5 times a week doing CrossFit. Because some of those CrossFit sessions in my like weaker phase, if you like, I would just go to the class and move through it. And I think, again, a really, really good coach will know when to not egg you on and when to push you as well.
And it goes back to what you were saying about these 6 week plans and stuff as well, and why they're setting you up for failure is because, like you said, as women, we have these ebbs and flows. But then if you're given a plan and it's like high intensity interval training, say 4 or 5 times a week, and you could just be on your flow and just be like, kill me now.
Yeah. And also, like with all these personal trainers that are out there, like forcing you to get your steps in, get all your training sessions in, hit your calories, hit your macros, like that, we can't do that every single day. Some days of the month, we need so many more carbohydrates than another time in the month. Sometimes we're so much hungrier because our body needs more energy to be able to shed a whole lining from ourselves. Yet these personal trainers are still out there telling us we're failures if we don't reach weight each week. Well, now we're seeing sort of a whole new area of other personal trainers coming out and pretending they know about the menstrual cycle and still don't know anything about it. And yeah, I think this is where just like knowing you and your body. And then also potentially having a really good coach that maybe doesn't know about the menstrual cycle or know about you as much, because only you can really understand that about you, but is open to getting to know you. I'm really lucky with my coach, is like I can say to them, well, they know my journey for a start, but also like I could go up to them and just be like, I'm on my period, leave me alone today.
It's basically, it is, it's listening to your body and giving it what it needs, and that is ultimately going to make you healthier and stronger. So in terms of anybody who's listening to this that is thinking, oh, this is making me suspect my hormones could be out of whack, what are some of the signs that our hormones could be imbalanced?
Anxiety can be one. If you know that you have a quite a restricted diet, that's not necessarily a symptom, but if you know you restrict quite a bit, so carbohydrate restriction and fat restriction, that can lead to hormonal problems. If you have irregular cycles, if you're on the pill, that's obviously a little bit, or some form of contraception, that's a little bit more difficult to tell, but you can th see things in like acne or digestion problems, low energy, low mood, reliant on caffeine. I was drinking like 6 cups of coffee a day, or wanting lots of Diet Coke, that sort of thing, because I wasn't going to go eat the actual chocolate. And like poor sleep, feeling cold all the time. These are all signs that potentially it's a little bit out of whack. If you aren't on contraception and things like irregular menstrual cycles, so if you have quite a long cycle, you have a short cycle, that's a sign of a hormone imbalance. Obviously, missing periods as well, but low energy is probably a big one. And then the best way that you can get that checked out is by getting blood work done. Your doctor will get blood work done for you. I would just always request a copy, because the GPs will look at that as like a general approach. So my blood tests all came back in a normal range, but it was only when I passed them to Renee that she was able to look at them properly and go, no, they're actually really on the low side. So yeah, getting blood work done is probably the best way to go about it. And then also, you know, if they are extreme, your doctor will be able to tell you. Low estrogen, low testosterone in guys, low LSH, those sorts of things are the sort of things that are giving a highlight to low energy availability. And then you can go from there.
And can we, if we're going to the doctor, can we kind of insist that we get that done? Because I do feel like, and maybe I'm just a little bit biased because I've had some negative experiences, but certainly at my local GPs, the amount of fobbing off that happens when I'm trying to get seen is like ridiculous. And I understand it's because they're overstretched or whatever, but can you insist on this?
Yeah, so the only, I don't know for everyone, but the only way I've been able to, like, I've been seen is I've said, I'm going private. I need to be able to take blood tests to be able to go private. So I've said, like, I'm seeing a dietitian, or I'm seeing a nutritionist, or I'm seeing an endocrinologist privately, but I need blood works to take with them. And I don't know whether I've just then had a been very lucky that they've then done it for me, or whether they've gone, cool, nice one. That means you only need blood from us and then nothing more. Cheers. So I don't know. I guess it's different for everyone probably, but that's what I always recommend to people if they ask me. I'd say just be open and honest and say, actually, you're getting someone else to look at the bloods, but you just want them done and a copy of them.
Good advice. Chloe, I'm conscious of time and I can't let you go until we do the Happier Life Projects last 5 and 5, because this is how we close every episode. So these are the same 5 questions that we ask every guest. Are you ready?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. When and where are you at your happiest?
Oh, wow. Do you know what I'm going to say at the gym? My CrossFit box is literally full of all like my bestest friends. So I don't even have to be there to work out. I can just be hanging out there.
Nice. What's your favorite thing to do that nourishes your mental health?
Create content, hands down. I could, yeah, it's probably why
Really?
it's my job, but yeah, I could lose myself in creating films and editing.
Awesome. Okay, what piece of advice do you now know that you wished somebody would have told you earlier that would have made you a happier person?
That you need to eat way more than you think you do.
What is the most important one thing that needs to change to make the world a happier place?
Wow. I think education on self-awareness and like self-development, let's start that at a younger age.
Final question. What is a simple actionable step that we can take when it comes to understanding and taking care of our hormones and periods that will help us on our journey to building a happier life?
Track your own cycle. And stay in your lane with it. Try not to compare to your friends or what they can do. Everyone is so different. But if you can understand you, your cycles, and your hormones and your moods and things like that will be your biggest superpower.
Amazing. And just to kind of conclude our episode and our conversation, this story's got a really, really happy ending. First of all, you're now part of Reenie's team. So you're working with Reenie, who helped you hugely on your journey. And what's the other major news, Chloe?
Yeah, I'm 38 weeks pregnant, literally about to pop. But I think that's what goes to show, right? Of like being able to train 5 times a week at CrossFit is brilliant. But like for me, getting pregnant, and it was, I mean, we weren't being careful, but it was still a surprise. That was to me the biggest nod from my body of just being like, yeah, cool, we're there. You've done it. Well done, Chloe.
Yeah, absolutely. Well done, Chloe. Thank you so much. So, for people to check out your content or maybe even to work with you, perhaps not for the next few months at least, because you're about to pop. But let's point people to your Instagram, Chloe, spelled CHLO Hodgkinson, HODGKINSON. And of course, for more of your content, then you've got to check out At My Possible Self on Instagram as
Yeah.
well.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. It's nice because I don't really get the opportunity to share, like, talk about the story much anymore. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks again, Chloe. What a lovely way to end the conversation. And thank you to you, my friend, for listening to this episode of the Happier Life Project with me, Gabby Sanderson. Just one more minute of your time for the important housekeeping before we sign off. If you are suffering with your mental health, there is a crisis button on the My Possible Self app, which will signpost you to the correct information for immediate expert advice. Those of you who are listening on one of the podcast platforms, the My Possible Self app is completely free to download, so you don't need to worry about it costing you anything. If you are in crisis or you think you may have an emergency, please call your doctor or the emergency services immediately. The views expressed in this podcast are solely those of the interviewer, which is me, and the interviewees. The content of this podcast is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a substitute for professional or medical advice. The Priory Healthcare are not involved in the production or content of this podcast. If you found this episode helpful, yep, please do subscribe if you haven't already and leave a review if you haven't done that either and you have the time. And to find and follow us on social media, we are at My Possible Self, and I've been at Radio Gabby. Just one more quick heads up. After next week's episode of the Happier Life Project, we will be taking a short break over the Easter holidays. So if there are any topics that you would like some advice on or to learn more about, we absolutely love hearing from you. You can either email us podcast@mypossibleself.com or send us a message on Instagram. Do take care, and I'll see you on the next one. Bye for now.